This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Oh, is Jake Ferguson about to get demoted not only from Sean's favorite Cowboy to second team, but maybe from the actual lineup from first team to second team? Let's talk about it here in Below the Belt, which is brought to you by D&M Leasing. You can check them out at dmautoleasing.com. What is our general feeling about where Jake Ferguson is at in his career right now as we stand here on June 11th, 2025, entering the final year of his deal?
That he needs a bounce back year in order to get paid. Otherwise, we can continue to rotate tight ends.
Chop.
I like him. I think that you can, he's the type of guy that you need to be smart with. Like, you can't pay everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be willing to walk away from good players.
Which I don't think he's going to command top of the tight end market type of money. And no. So at that point, you're probably factoring in.
How do you compare Jake Ferguson to Dalton Schultz as players?
I think. Through this, like around the similar time when we were evaluating Schultz's entering the final year of his deal, I think Schultz was a better player. And so, I mean, I think that's kind of where, I think Ferguson's upside is better. And had Ferguson not seemingly regressed a little bit last year, and there were a lot of factors involved with it. Yeah. He got hurt game one, his knee. They thought for a second there he might have shredded it. And then they're like, okay, we dodged a bullet there. Then Dak gets hurt. Then he has the concussion issue where he's talking about waking up in the middle of the night crying from head pain or whatever. It was a complicated year.
If he doesn't get hurt, he probably matches the reception total from the year before. He's not coming close to matching the yards, and he got a goose egg in the end zone. Like, he didn't score a touchdown. This time last year, you make the prediction that Jake Ferguson does not get in the end zone, you're getting laughed out of town. But he had 59 catches the year before, 59 catches in 14 games. The year before, he had 71 catches in 17. So he's probably getting 3 catches a game, something like that, if he doesn't get hurt. He's not matching the yards, and he's not matching the touchdowns.
He's going to have... I think
he had some fumble. He had 4 fumbles last year.
He'll get a contract that matches what he wants. I just don't know that it has to be here.
He ain't going to get it from other places if he has last season.
No, not necessarily. I wonder if... The touchdown numbers, you know, how much do they really care about that? Like, isn't that...
But he had 500 yards.
Oh, look, I'm not saying...
At 8.4 catch.
Yeah, I'm not saying it had a great year. Obviously, without the quarterback, that changes a lot of things.
Your success rate, receiving success rate, as the statistic is defined on Pro Football Reference, is a successful reception gains at least 40% of the yards required to get a first down on first down, 60% of the yards on second, and 100% on third or fourth. So Jake Ferguson's success rate his first 3 years has been 63.6, 55.9, and then last year he was 39.5% success rate on his receptions. That is really, really, and that it's actually factored in with targets too, so any miss or drop or anything, but everything went down sharply last year. Banged up, obviously, quarterback hurt, but it at least caused people to wonder about where his stock was entering this year. And yesterday, it was just interesting to note that it's the first time in the 4 weeks of practices we've seen in the offseason that Jake Ferguson was working with the second team. Could be you're trying to get Brevin Spanford some more reps and, hey, let's get you caught up here. Luke Schoonmaker, they've got a question about him and how they're going to view him moving forward. They could be looking at it and saying, we need Luke Schoonmaker to get these reps right now. But for Schoonmaker and Ferguson to get a lot of these reps instead of Ferguson, and for Ferguson to kind of be swapped out at times, it was odd. And it didn't seem right away like it was just you're a good team guy. It just seemed like almost we're looking at some different things. So I thought that was interesting out of practice yesterday. Brian Schottenheimer, this is Cut 10, Peyton. Brian Schottenheimer was talking yesterday with the press, and he had talked about the idea of these practices and how little you can learn, because people are like, look, you're bringing them out here. What's the point of it? What is the point of an OTA practice if you can't even really do anything? So this is Brian Schottenheimer talking about...
Sounds like RJ Choppy.
Yeah, it does. This is Brian Schottenheimer talking about what can really be learned from these type of practices.
We go above and beyond, myself, the coordinators, the position coaches, of showing them what you can and can't do. It's about moving your feet and maximizing your hand usage. And a lot of it, we say it's competitive, not combative. You can't have combative drills and combative things. We don't throw players down. We don't torque guys. We stay away from the quarterback in the 3-yard quarterback halo. It's educational. You're teaching these guys how to practice. And the reason they want to practice the right way is if you can show that you can be ready and prepared to go play in a real football game without having to wear pads, then you're going to reward those guys when the season gets longer and you're into the latter months and it's November and December and things like that.
And so that's the thing where when you look at him talking about the structure of what they're trying to do, and look, if you're learning how to practice a certain way and if you're showing us certain things and we develop more trust, it should probably similarly be viewed when we're talking about the Ferguson stuff in that context of, if Brevin Spanford's shown things the right way, they may be willing to just give him, hey, let's give you a day, take some of these reps. If Luke Schoonmaker, they're trying to figure out if they can trust him, they may be saying, let's give you some of these reps, see if you are learning and picking this up the way you need to. And generally, you don't want to swap out the quarterback. You're not as concerned about some of those other things. But obviously, they'll rotate receivers. They'll rotate other spots. It's just the offensive line, the running back, and the quarterback have kind of been this one focus. It's not been as frequently that you've seen some of the tight end movement, so I do wonder if there's just some level of evaluation going on there about his future. All right, so yesterday I took note of something at practice that I'd never seen before, just at Cowboys practice in general, but I hadn't noticed yet with Shoddy. And I'd asked some of the other beat members, I was like, hey, have you guys noticed this each week? And they're like, yeah, he's been doing it the last 2 weeks or so. So Jason Garrett used to walk up to every player during the stretch lines. At practice, during the games, he'd walk up to every single player, pat him on the back, say something to him, just kind of go up and down the line. Dan Quinn would do that before games a lot of times. Go up and down the line, talk to even offensive players, even though he's the defensive coordinator. What I've never seen, and again, as we talk about culture and the way that they approach things, what I've never seen, and I don't know if this is just something voluntary they did or if it was an instruction of like, I want you guys to do this. Every single assistant coach and Brian Schottenheimer walk the entire stretch line for that 15 minutes talking to every single player. And not just patting them on the back or hitting them on the shoulder like, hey, let's have a good day of practice. They are, in large part, Clayton Adams is stopping the offensive coordinator and he's talking to Marshawn Kneeland for like a minute. Connor Riley, the offensive line coach, is leaning down and patting Donovan Wilson on the shoulders and putting a word in his ear. Like, they're having all the coaches basically talk to, for some amount of time, these players, whether they're in their position group, whether they're on their side of the ball or not, and are trying to get them connected to that. Now, you, Chop, I know you're not typically a culture guy or haven't been a culture guy. You want
right,
this one?
That's right. I want this
one. You want to have at it?
I've been surprised at your restraint and your patience that you have not had your eyes roll out the 75 to get hit by Kelvin Joseph.
Oh boy.
To sit here and not destroy all this culture stuff that they went up and down the warm-up line, and Bobby's fallen in love with how many times Schottenheimer blinks during a press conference and doing Greek dancing and doing TikTok prank calls. I can't believe that you have you've held your tongue this much.
Well, a couple things. I've learned that Bobby is no different than Bobby is like no different than Fox News and MSNBC. He will only tell the story, CNN too, only tell the story that he wants told. He will not tell.
But we're all doing it. We're all falling in love with the culture.
Cool. Right. Great.
I can tell that story because I have eyes on it and I go every day. But continue.
That's fine. But you went, you know, you could also hide the warts. You hid the good things on McCarthy. So I don't even listen when you talk. So like about
I wasn't meaning for this to be a Bobby attack.
I'd like to push back on that. What do you think I hid about McCarthy?
I mean, anything good that he did. Surely he all you talk
something.
About is the
give me something
bad
tangible.
Stuff. I don't know. I'm just spitballing.
You don't know. Okay, all right, good. So then
but see,
invalidated.
That's the point. Like it's impossible that a guy who was here with 3 straight 12-win seasons didn't do anything good.
But Bobby attack aside.
Yeah.
All those Schottenheimer stories that all the media is falling in love with.
I think the culture stuff is largely, if you want to be truthful, I think culture is largely garbage. Bill Belichick didn't go down the line and talk to players. They won
but did
six
they have
Super
a culture? They had a culture, it just wasn't patty cake.
It wasn't patty cake, yeah.
It was shut your mouth, it's us, it's military. It's this is your role. You're out of here. There's different types of culture.
Right. That's true. We are at the. We're not even a month to training camp. There's nothing to be negative about. There's nothing to complain about.
Yeah.
The culture's good. It doesn't mean anything.
Do you think it would make a difference at all on Luka's baseball team if the coaches were going up to each of them like ahead of the start of the game and they were just spending a second just like. Hey, Luka, how's things? Hey, did you and your dad do this last week? Oh, that's good. Blah, blah. Do you think that creates any sort of an environment with that sort of consistency that makes them all play tighter together?
Because one of your teams has a toxic culture.
Oh, they're very toxic. One of the teams is very toxic.
Are they good?
No, that's not the that's not the culture though. So I'll give you an example of Luka. Okay, I'll give you a perfect example. The team he was on before, he had been on since they were 4 years old. Parents all were friends. The kids were friends. They all wanted to play together. They loved each other. The new team he's on is very transactional. It is very serious. It is, what can you do for me today? No loyalty, none of that. And they're much better.
And talent will definitely...
Because it's serious. You know, it's serious.
Talent will evaluate or will elevate you over certain things. And culture can still be rigidity and discipline. It's a type of culture or whatever else. What I'm saying is that for a team that clearly had two of their best players last year, Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence, that did not like each other, and for players that have not liked each other, that sounds more like the recipe for what they need right now is bonding and cohesion more than anything else. Speaking of Micah Parsons, he was out there at practice yesterday and not participating, did show up, though, and was talking to Jerry Jones for quite a long time, had about 30 minutes of conversation with him. Looked very jovial, very, very light. Didn't look very serious or intense. So cut 23 here, Peyton. Micah, what did you and Jerry exactly talk about?
We were talking about how my offseason's been, the training I've been putting in, and he told me I looked pretty good. So I got excited about that. Asked me about the trip I just went on, and, you know, it was a pretty good conversation. And then, obviously, just stepping up and being a leader, how much he appreciates I'm here, and, that means a lot to me.
How hopeful are you to get a deal done before you go to Oxnard?
I'm pretty hopeful. I'm still, hanging tight. Like, I understand it's up to him, and he gives the green light on everything. So, hopefully, something's done, by next month.
And Micah says, deal done or not, he will be in Oxnard. Just may not be practicing.
Moving below
B-Belt
to 9 o'clock today because of the breaking news that the Mavs are keeping Jason Kidd. They rejected the New York Knicks' request to talk to your head coach. So the Knicks are 0-4-3. Let's hook you up for being a Tolo.
She was like, oh my God, this is my soul.
All right, Tolos, right now, that's right. Call number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a pair of tickets. See Luke Bryan on Friday, June 20th at the Dos Equis Pavilion in Dallas. That's call number 10 at 877-881-1053.
The loaded 9 o'clock hour continues, and he should be in a fantastic mood. We go out to Minnesota on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube for Rangers hitting coach Brett Boone. After the 16 runs scored last night, Brett Boone joins us next on The Fan.
Leo 1, swinging a drive, deep right field. Wallner's not even moving. This one's way out of here. Evan Carter with a blast to straightaway right. It's his third of the season, his second in as many games, and the Rangers are in double figures leading 10-3.
What a perfect morning to have on the hitting coach of the Texas Rangers live from Minnesota on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube, Brett Boone, with his weekly Wednesday visit on 105.3 The Fan.
Isn't it refreshing to be able to come on after a win, a big win? You know, we can save the hate mail for next week.
Yes. What was the difference? What has been the difference recently? Bob, did you say it's third straight with eight-plus hits?
Third straight game? Yeah, at least eight hits. They're putting the ball in play, man.
I mean, look at this roster. I mean, these guys are good. They're good. They were the best hitting team in baseball 2 years ago. I know it's been the last year and a half. It's kind of, for whatever reason, everybody kind of got on the same program. But, you know, just the short time that I've been here, I see guys like a Marcus Semien, and what a great career he's had for the first couple weeks. You know, I could feel for him because I know what it's like to be in that's it where you can't get a hit. Now Simeon's.
This podcast is powered by Men's T Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972 Go Men's T or mensteclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
And our hottest player, getting Seager back and him scuffling like he's not used to scuffling in the last week or so. It was great to see him have some good at bats yesterday, because he's, let's be honest, he's a huge part, the middle of that lineup. You drop a Seager in there, and to see him swinging better. Adoli seems to be coming around a little bit. He's made a few tweaks to his swing and had some really good at bats last night. Last night in general was great. Evan Carter swinging the bat great the last couple days. The role players, you know, have been doing a great job. Sam Haggerty, whenever he's been inserted, he seems like he's kind of a spark plug for that offense. So, and the pitching's been there all year. I talk about the defense. The defense is as good as anybody in baseball. We're getting a little healthier in the bullpen. You're going to see some guys in the next 2-3 weeks to a month. You're going to see some more guys added to that rotation. So I see as the summer goes on, these guys are too good to hit the way they've hit as far as ranking in Major League Baseball. There's a ton of talent on that roster. Berger in the middle of that lineup is always dangerous to hit a home run. You know, I don't want to leave anybody out, but watching last night, I told him, I said, my kids, you really made dad proud tonight. That's a pleasure to watch. That's a pleasure to watch. And it really is. You know, I have to constantly remind him, remember this, you're some of the best hitters on earth. And you're here for a reason. Because all of us, you know, at different phases of our careers, different times in our careers, we're very confident people, man, we're just as vulnerable as anybody else when things go south. I can't tell you how many times I've sat at home in a hotel room and thought, am I ever going to hit again? You know, and 100 out of 100 times that I sat in that hotel room, I came out of it. And I just have to keep reassuring these guys, it's going to happen. There's too much talent in this room. And last night was a fun one. We get back to business today, try to win a series. And then if you can win a series, then you get greedy and you try to go for the sweep, but one at a time.
Brett, Seager and Semien, obviously established vets. You played, right, but you're still relatively new to this team and role. How do you go to a Corey Seager, who we even heard when he first came here, kind of has his own hitting guy, as many people do? How do you go to a Marcus Semien, being new and being like, hey, here's what I think you should do?
Well, Marcus and myself have a lot in common. You know, we have pretty darn similar career paths, and we're both second basemen, so we have that kind of in common. And actually, Simeon's probably one of the guys I'm closest to on the team. So that's been a real easy dialogue with me and Marcus from the very get-go. Seager, he's kind of his own guy. You know, he's the guy that has his own program, and I think if you look at his body of work, you can't really critique it. Kind of, hey, this works for you. And I'm a big proponent of that. This is the big leagues. These are men. These are big boys. These aren't people you have to babysit. And what works for one doesn't work for the masses. I don't think there's one rule for everybody. As long as you show up at 7 o'clock and bring the mail, I don't care what you do. I had a Braves team in 1999 I was a part of, and Chipper Jones, who I love, Chipper Jones, one of the greatest players I ever played with. And for three quarters of the season, he didn't get out of his underwear until he went down to the cage to hit. He never hit on the field. He never stretched on the field. He never played catch on the field. And he would appear in the dugout at about 7:02 for a 7:05 game. He'd warm up his arm in the cage. He'd do his routine. And he won the MVP. And I remember telling my teammates, I said, I don't care what Chipper does. I don't care if I see him. If he keeps showing up at 7:02 in that dugout and bringing it like he does, do whatever you want, Chipper. Keep doing that. And that's what the big leagues is about. Everybody, there is a sense of team and camaraderie. But it's a bunch of individual guys doing their job that makes the team great. And, you know, with Seager, he's got his plan. And like I said, his body of work is pretty impressive. He's when healthy and when swinging the bat the way he can, he's definitely one of the best players in all the game.
Brett Boone joined us here, 105 through the Fan. Okay, so last night they were talking, you know, on the broadcast, and they're sitting there like, oh, Seager, he's open. His stance is a little bit more open today, or some other days it's not. What is the process for a hitter, like game to game, where it's like, you know, I might just go a little bit more open today? Is it the other pitcher? Is it just how they feel in BP?
It could be, you know, it could, for me, I was pretty standard. What I went with was what I went with. Now, with two strikes, I changed my approach and I'd spread out and it was much different. But other than two strikes, I pretty much stayed the same. The only way I'd fluctuate a little bit is if I was facing a lefty, I'd maybe get up on the plate and up in the box. And I could kind of hang out over the plate and get away with more because it was a left hand and everything was coming into me. Nothing's going away from me. So that's the only time I'd make an adjustment. But I played with guys that move around, and one day they're up on their toe hitting. Next day they're flat footed. One day they're neutral with a stance. The next day, they're slightly open. A month from now, they're slightly closed. Now, you don't change significantly. To the naked eye, it kind of looks the same. But I've noticed that with Seager. Sometimes he'll have a more neutral stance, and sometimes he'll kick that front foot back to get him in position. It could have something to do with the pitcher, could have something to do with the way he's feeling in the cage. These are all things that crazy hitters like we are, we mess with and tinker with.
Rangers hitting coach Brett Boone joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. So, Brett, Boach had talked about on Sunday, he gave Wyatt Langford the day off. He's like, he's an emotional player, kind of just needed a good reset for a couple days with the Monday off day, right, as well. Obviously comes out last night, has the home run, looks good. How big are those reset mental days for hitters when they're in a slump?
I think they're great, and I try to explain that. You know, a Marcus Semien, he never wants a day off ever, and that's the one thing I respect the most about Marcus is the ability to post. In a day and age where everybody doesn't post, Marcus Semien posts good, bad, and different, and I have a lot of respect for guys like that. But a reset sometimes, we don't even know what's good for us. I know as a player, I would dread having a day off, and as I became a veteran player, managers would come to me and say, Booney, we're going to give you a day off, you know, Thursday on a Monday. I'd already start getting pissed about it. Say, no, you're not giving me a day off on Thursday. Now, fast forward a few years, looking back, they're better for you than I think there's more positive to negative. And it's not we're going to sit you for sometimes you just got to let your brain detox and just sit down. And every time a guy gets a day off, I'll look at him, I'll go, enjoy watching a big league contest today. And hopefully you don't have to go pinch hit. Cause sometimes when I had a day and it was a mental day to just kind of get the angst out and just watch a big league game, you can get a lot from that. So I think they're definitely healthy in the long run. Take your shots and have a seat once in a while, even though the mentality of a Wyatt Langford is no, I play every day. He's a young 23-year-old. You know, I call him like a bull. He's strong like a bull. And he's kind of learning on the job. You know, I told Wyatt the other day, I said, you were too good to go in the minor leagues. So you're kind of learning at the big league level. And that's what he's doing. Not too many guys have the ability to just kind of come out of college, play a few games in the minor leagues, and now you're playing at the big league level. That's what he's doing. So it was great to see him have that day off, come back, hit that big home run last night. You know, for Wyatt, we talk about it all the time. He's just got to get his load down. His hands stay very still, but when he gets them moving, man, he's something. I think Wyatt Langford's going to learn by trial and error, and he's going to be one of when he's good already, but when he really figures it out, I think he's going to be one of those perennial MVP candidates.
Rangers hitting coach Brett Boone joining us off the 17-hit output last night in the 16-4 beatdown of the Twins every Wednesday here on Sean and RJ. I want to hear, you mentioned Semien, I want to hear a little bit more about the relationships that you've established with who, and what can you just kind of tell us about some of the guys that you've clicked with so far? Give our audience a little insight into some of their favorite players' personalities.
Yeah, Marcus he's a pro. You know, he comes to the ballpark. He's got a good personality. You know, we get to a point where he'll give me a little crap, I'll give him a little crap. So we have a really good relationship. Evan Carter I love talking to Evan. I love talking to the young guys about how to prepare each and every game, each and every at bat. And Evan will come to me in between at bats and say, Booney, okay, he did this to me at first about, what do you think? And I'll say, this is what I would think if this happened. So he's kind of learning on, he's picking my brain about that. And I love, that's kind of my passion is preparing for the game from a mental perspective. You know, I really do enjoy all these guys. Like I really like them. And when I kid around and say my kids, there's a part of me that really feels like they are, you know, I get so emotional when I watch them play because I want so much good for them. And I see the work they put in the cage every day. But they've all been great. I really like Josh Smith. You know, he's kind of a psycho like me. I call him the psycho because he's always he wants to be perfect with his swing. I went through a phase in my life in my hitting where everything had to be perfect, my hand. So Josh is like that. Wyatt's just, he just wants to hit. I have to tell him sometimes, Wyatt, we can't hit this much. We got 162 games, and I'm planning on going to the postseason. I know you're 23, and I know you're strong, but I got to keep you a little bit fresh. So the challenge with Wyatt is getting him out of the cage, but he's a great guy. Jonah Heim, He's just as laid back as you could possibly be. Really love him. Higgy is hilarious. He's funny. He's got something for me every day, and he's a real thinker. He likes to think the game. So we're always talking chess match because him right. being a catcher too. How are the other hitters? There's just – I can go up and down the list. I really like Berger. You know, well, I'll talk to him every day, and I'll say – Berger, how are we feeling today? Booney, I've done pretty good in this yard. You know, Berger's the type of guy who'll come over to your house and he'll cook dinner for you. He's that type of guy. He's great. All the guys, I can't – Josh Young, he's great. You know, right now he's been going through a tough little span, but last night he gets two huge hits, four RBIs. That sometimes will let you sleep at night. So I don't want to leave anybody out. There's so many guys. Adoli, love Adoli. You know, I remember coming here and say, hey, Doley, in 23, I remember watching you and how dynamic you were, all those home runs you hit in the postseason. You know, I think I mentioned it earlier on the show. I said, you were like Superman. I was watching you. You were like Superman. I said, we got to get that cape back on.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy these guys. I love coming to the ballpark and just seeing what's going to happen today. And hopefully a lot more days like yesterday will happen going forward.
Tremendous answer. Thank you so much for joining us again with the awesome stuff. Great performance last night. Let's keep it rolling.
All right, guys. Thank you.
There he is, the Rangers hitting coach Brett Boone. Game two against the Twins tonight right here on 105.3 The Fan. Let's react with KNC to the breaking news that Jason Kidd is staying. And who has Indiana winning tonight? Crosstalk is next. The breaking news about 1 hour ago.
Is it that Corey got an email that said office purge day?
Is it from Odyssey?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh.
The one day murder is legal in this building. No.
It looks like we're going to declutter and organize, not purging
people. Oh, okay.
Is there anything up here that comes to mind first that would need to be decluttered or organized? I feel like things are
the mailbox.
Yeah, the mailbox.
Does anybody use that?
I do.
Yeah.
I mean, not consistently. I just keep like time off sheets in there. Yeah. Run sheets.
Time off sheets.
Yeah. I shouldn't have said that because now everyone's going to steal my time. My time off sheets.
This podcast is powered by Men's T Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972 Go Men's T or Men'sTClinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Template, you'll be fine.
Well, it was cluttered over, like, I don't know, something got, there was like some of this stuff was laying around the studio. It's been like organized a little bit, and I think the Peyton studio got organized recently, so I think we're good.
Plus, we're getting ready for the big move at some point this year. What? So
it's gonna, we talked about this. It's in the newspapers.
It's in the newspapers?
It's in the papers. The breaking news. About an hour ago, the Dallas Mavericks rejected the New York Knicks request to interview and speak with Jason Kidd. So the Jason Kidd saga is now over. He is staying here as Mavs coach. What do you think? What did you think was going to happen?
So this is kind of what I thought was going to happen, because I get the feeling that whether it was when they called Minnesota or the Mavericks, that it started off with, all right.
And Houston rejected New York.
Yes. So what are you going to give us if we let you eventually have Jason Kidd? And they're like, what do you mean? No, we're just going to take him for nothing. And then the teams were all like, okay, then no. Hang up the phone.
Yeah.
Like,
what was the compensation New York had that would have made you, first off, were you okay with Jason leaving? And did you have a replacement in mind, unlike the Knicks?
Sean Sweeney was what we kind of kicked around yesterday. But the Knicks have the potential for a first-round draft pick next year, although I know it has some protections on it that would probably break it down into 2 seconds. But even that, I think I would be fine with.
With 2 seconds?
Yeah, just because you have so little draft compensation, like, of your own because of all the wheeling and dealing, that I would listen to that.
Corey, what did you think and want to happen?
I wanted to keep Kidd. I like his connection with Kyrie. I like his connection with the vision that he has with Nico about the defense that they want to play, the style that they want to play. He's already had all this in mind, so I didn't want the continuity to go out of the window. So I wanted to keep him around, and I never thought he was going to go anywhere. I was like, this is ridiculous. The Knicks are just going to kick the door open and do what they did, what LA did with Luka, and just take him from us.
Are the Knicks the same as the Stars in their head coaching searches and maybe not having an answer? Do you always have to have the answer before you make the move, or you can justify saying, I know this isn't right, we'll figure it out?
See, that's what
it's like, a quarterback decision.
That's what I think is the last part of what you just said. But I think a lot of people feel the other way. I feel that way about the Cowboys when they would talk about, like, going back to re-signing Dak or whatever. They're like, what are you going to do instead? And I was like, I don't necessarily think that part matters if you know what you're doing is 100% not going to work. It's great if you do have a plan, but sometimes if you're like, this isn't going to work, it's never going to work, it's okay to move on.
Corey, what's coming up?
Guys, we got Bruce Bochy joining the show today at 12:30. We'll talk to him about
so we
the...
think.
What do you mean?
Last couple weeks.
Oh, yeah, he has been missing.
He mad at you guys?
I think he's mad at the offense, and then so... He's taking it out
not
on
us. Yesterday.
Yeah, so
this
today
should be a great day to call it.
That's the thing. The last couple weeks, they've lost the day before, and we've been like, oh, man, and not even scored runs. So we were like, we don't even know. And he's like, I don't want to talk to you guys. I hate you. And also, FC Dallas head coach Eric Quill will join us at 1:30 today.
Who has the strongest feeling about Game 3 tonight and who's going to win? Now, Bobby, Choppy, and Corey picked a longer series. Kevin and I went shorter. And you're raising your hand that you have the strongest feeling.
I think Oklahoma City is going to win. I think they're going to win comfortably. You can look back at the first two games, though I know obviously they were in Oklahoma City. And the Thunder are clearly the better team. And they're the better team by quite a large margin. And if not for a fluky last 2.5 minutes, people would be asking if this could be a sweep.
Yeah, it's very similar to the Stars series against Edmonton, where they kind of had a window where they came back
that
and won it all.
That is a good comparison.
And then, but the more dominant team, the better team, kind of showed. I still think that Rick Carlisle is a really good coach and can win another game. I think he can win another one.
I didn't have a strong feeling on it until I just heard Hagee be so dismissive of the Indiana Pacers. Yeah. And so now I think Indiana's going to win. I did have a confident feeling Indiana's winning one of these next two. That I was certain. Okay. I don't know if it's tonight or tomorrow. I have zero doubt it's going to be 2-2, though.
I would love to see that,
and
though,
then I think
because
Oklahoma
then it
City
feels
wraps
like
it up.
Series on. But even then, like, if it's 2-2 going into game five, I'd be like, all
doesn't
right.
It change it at all, though, that, like, we can talk about they were clearly the better team and all those sort of things, though, that it was in OKC. OKC doesn't lose to, like, they had lost one game at home to an Eastern Conference team the last year and a half.
I know, and they
blew it.
I think that's fair, but if you just look at a lot of their dominant run, is they've had a lot of success outside of Denver on the road as well.
I think Indy wins tonight. They're plus 5.5, and that's the you got to lay the juice.
Sure.
To take it.
Especially if you think they even might win. That's a lot of points.
Yeah, and you know, so you got to lay the 115 to win 100 on the 5.5. Yeah. That's the favorite, is that Indy covers. Bobby's right. They're going to split in Indy, and then they'll go back, and then it's going to wind up being OKC in game 5, Indy game 6, and OKC in game 7.
Ooh. Josh Clark.
Ruben, by the way, coming in with the note, Oklahoma City fan, Ruben, saying, just so you guys know, Pacers haven't won a game 3 this entire playoff run. So here's that little fact out there.
Josh Clark sent me this from the Knicks Athletic Reporter. I've gathered that this is after the news comes out of kid request rejected. I've gathered that the Knicks pursuit might not stop with the official denial of permission. What the heck? What does that mean?
Okay, great. Well, he's might under not contract, stop. So unless you come back to the table with compensation, good luck.
That means the Knicks are under the impression Jason Kidd doesn't want to be here. And they think just them saying no is not enough, because if Jason Kidd doesn't want to be there, then he doesn't have to be there.
Even with the denial, the Knicks could still offer a trade package that Dallas decides it can't refuse.
See?
Is what he also added. That's what I just said,
yeah.
There's just been no indication that Kidd wants to leave.
Or that
Dallas wants Kidd to leave.
This whole permission thing is such garbage. There's zero chance that the Knicks haven't been in contact with Jason's agent.
That's right. Probably fair.
There's zero chance.
It's just like free agency before we had the dead period, and you're like,
is Jason's agent Rich Paul?
I do believe so.
Oh.
So, like, obviously there's been maybe some.
Jeff Schwartz, my bad.
Who?
Jeff Schwartz of
Excel Sports. The offensive lineman. Yeah, very nice. There's obviously been communication back and forth, you would think.
Yeah.
If they're taking this test. I mean, a no is not really a no. It's not really a no.
Or do they know Jason wants the job?
I don't think you should mark that, no.
Or that Jason wants the job? Like, why would you continue to persist?
I mean, I could see that. Like, it's obviously one of the more marquee jobs.
Yeah, I mean, look, he literally has done this exact same pattern before with his free agency and the Knicks.
Yes.
He was supposed to come back to Dallas and then back channel communications
No,
just kidding. I'm leaving in free agency for the Knicks, y'all. And so, I mean, he's done this before.
Also, a report from The Athletic that Jason did not much enjoy being the public face and spokesperson for the Luka deal.
Yeah. I'll bet he didn't.
Yeah, that's a little gutless on Nico's
GM
part.
Out here.
What's going to happen in New York, though?
Well, yeah, because Leon doesn't talk and neither does Dolan.
Yeah, and New York media is relentless. Like, that'll be even worse. That was one time that something wild like that happened. New York, something wild happens all the time.
Elon has kind of apologized to the president 7 hours ago on Twitter. I regret some of my posts about President Real Donald Trump last week. They went too far.
I'm still getting rid of my Tesla. I'm getting rid of it. It was in support of Elon and it's no more, okay?
Isn't the Tesla for sale? Wasn't it?
Yeah, I think he called that one.
Is it listed? Like, does someone go out and draw the price on the windows and marker? Like,
50,000 OBO.
To see.
A little or best offer.
Give me the VIN.
Who had whose apology was more sincere to you? Is it Elon Musk or Simone Biles?
I haven't followed Simone like Choppy.
Oh, that got uncomfortable.
Go ahead. Yeah.
That was a bad look for her.
So. All right, I guess the story started with, so you know who Riley Gaines is? Riley Gaines is the swimmer.
He's the alter ego of Garth Brooks.
That's Chris Gaines.
Okay.
I'm sorry. There were a couple good songs.
That was good. I'm sorry. My apologies.
Riley made a post because there was a Minnesota or Minneapolis area girls softball team that won a title, and there was a trans woman on the team. And she made, obviously, a post. She's very big in the anti-trans in sports activism. Simone Biles clapped back at her, called her sick. And then Riley went back at her and said, you'd be completely irrelevant if they allowed biological men in your sport.
I think what really hurts Simone, too, is she told Riley Gaines, you should pick on people your own size, which ironically would be men.
Right. And that was the one that was the, that was like the end. That's where everybody was like, okay, now we've gone too far. Yeah. We've gotten personal here. And then you see Riley posted videos of like her getting measured by her boyfriend or whatever. She's like, I'm 5'5". Like, you know, like something like that. And then Simone had a very long apology. It was one of those like notes apps.
To things. Riley?
On social media, yeah, to Riley.
Over like
it was kind of Riley,
in general.
Did she change her opinion on the subject matter?
No, she just addressed, which I get. She addressed the personal nature.
It was like a Ryan Clark apology to RG3.
RG3, especially since you know, obviously Simone Biles has complained multiple times about being body shamed and stuff. She's like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have. I shouldn't have done that one.
So that was the crux of it. Like it got pretty ugly. It got pretty ugly. And then you had people.
Say what you got to say, Bobby.
I don't have anything to say. I have nothing to say on this subject. I know nothing about it. I think everybody should. I don't know. I don't know how I'm supposed to say the words that normal people say. I have nothing to say.
It was one of those apologies that was long that people usually comment, congratulations or I'm sorry for whatever happened, but I'm not reading all of that.
Okay. I think now would be a good time to go to the next show. That would
That's
be
us.
The KNC Masterpiece. Yes. Next on 105 Through the Fan.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tea Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tea Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tea Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA or mensteaclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.